Listen to God's word as recorded in Isaiah 60, beginning with verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephrah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Listen to God's word as recorded in Ephesians 3, beginning with verse 1. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in one promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Praise to you, my Lord and Savior. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our gospel lesson. The story of that family was cleaning up after Christmas, putting away all the decorations, which I'm sure most of you have done at this point, right? Nah, of course not. So the family got most of the decorations all put away, and their son looked at mom and dad and says, "Well, why are we putting all this stuff away now?" And mom looks and says, "Well, Christmas is over. We want to get things back to normal." And the little boy says, "I don't want things to be normal." Christmas decorations are gone in, well, many households. I saw a few laughs about that. All right? We're, quote, getting back to normal. I love it. What's my favorite store to go to that drives me nuts? I was in there yesterday. Christmas decorations, 75% off. Valentine's Day candy already out. But the one that got me, and I turned around and said it a little louder than I meant to, you gotta be kidding me, is when I saw the Easter chocolates. Chocolate bunny rabbits. We didn't even have our tree down at that point. Do we remove, though, Christmas from our lives? Or do we hang on to it? And I'm not talking about just the decorations. Do we put away that feeling that God came to us in human form and has never left us? Yesterday was Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany. Today we celebrate that as the coming of the wise men, where God is revealing himself to all the nations, where God is revealing that Jesus is true God, Messiah, and Savior, that God had come to bring salvation and forgiveness to all people, including these foreigners, which is a good thing. Why does it matter that these foreigners came to worship that worship the Christ child? Because guess what all of us are? Foreigners. Because I really don't think anybody here grew up as an Orthodox Jew. Because none of y'all have the beard for it. Well, Derek's working on it. But, and me. All right, we're all foreigners. We're all Gentiles. We should be thankful that the Gentiles came to worship the Lord. The prophet Isaiah has said that the Christ child would be a light to the Gentiles, and that light is Christ. That he came to all people regardless of their background. Remember, at Christmas, we celebrate the shepherds coming. The lowliest people in society at that time were the ones that took care of the sheep. In comparison, then, you have the magi, the educated. By the gifts they brought, pretty well off. So you have from the very poorest of society to the very wealthiest of society, both come to worship the Christ child, which means all ends of society. There's nobody too low and there's nobody too high for Christ. And the wise men bring those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, in our gospel lesson, we see again where God's plan cannot be stopped. King Herod is going to try to stop it. Well, you know, Satan's behind him pushing this. But God's plan cannot be stopped. And when the wise men come to seek the child, they go to King Herod first, which makes sense. He's the ruler. If somebody's going to know where the Messiah is, don't you think it would be the king? Now, just a little bit about old King Herod. He ruled for 44 years, which, by the way, is an impressive amount of time that Rome allowed him to stay there, which meant he was very effective. Rome did not allow ineffective leaders. So if Herod couldn't control the people, they would have yanked him out of there. He lasts for 44 years. Very effective as far as keeping order. Now, brutal? Oh, yes. Extremely brutal. So on one hand, you have brutal King Herod, but you also have the King Herod who built the Second Temple. An incredible structure. King Herod, by the way, also could be gracious when he chose to be. About 25 years before Christ was born, there was a great famine in and around Jerusalem. And the story is that King Herod sold some of his own personal gold plates to buy food for the people of Jerusalem. But Herod was also insanely suspicious. If you were a rival, you got killed. That's kind of paranoid. In fact, he killed three of his own sons. The Roman Emperor Augustus said of King Herod, "I would rather be Herod's pig than one of his sons because I might last a little longer." Yeah, Herod, like I said, took out three of his own sons because he thought they might be conspiring against him. So we can imagine what went through King Herod's mind when the wise men come and want to know where the Messiah is. Our gospel tells us that he calls the chief priests and the scribes together. Never dawned on you? Why doesn't the king know, the king of Israel not know where the Messiah is to be born? Did that ever strike anybody why he didn't know this? I don't know, that's something that I would kind of want to know. But he didn't know, so he calls the chief priests and the scribes. They tell him he's to be born in Bethlehem. And we know what happens then. He orders all the baby boys under the age of 2 to be killed. Our world still has that Herod-like suspicion or skepticism about what we hear. Look at any of the news stories. Don't we look at a lot of them with a lot of skepticism? Also, when you hear good news, when somebody brings great news and tells you, isn't there just part of us that doubts, is it really that good? See, that's Satan casting doubts when we start to have suspicions or are very skeptical. It causes, in this case, in our gospel lesson, the light of Christ to be dimmed. See, the message of the Christmas season, which officially ended yesterday, is that God came to us in human form. You want perhaps the greatest moment in human history? Could argue it's one of two events. One of the events, definitely, God came to us in human form at Christmas. And the second greatest event in human history is when Christ came out of that tomb. Because all of our sins were forgiven. Can argue which one's more important. I say equally because it's our salvation story. Those are the greatest events in human history. In our gospel lesson, and I think something for us to keep in mind in our own lives, is the wise men came for just one reason. They wanted to see this Christ child. They didn't come to see Mary and Joseph. They had one focus, and that's to see the Christ child. Everything was about him. Now, I know this sounds like I'm going off on a wild tangent, but it does work. I think it was a Weight Watchers magazine that I was reading. Kind of made an interesting point that too many people are concerned what they eat between Christmas and Thanksgiving. Aren't most people concerned about the weight you gain during the holidays? But the magazine made a great point. It says, don't worry about what you eat between November and December, but what you eat between December and November. Because that's where you gain all your weight. There's a connection between that little bit of wisdom in that kind of corny magazine to this. What's our focus? Do we focus just on Christmas and then put it all away? Or do we focus between Christmas and November? Where does the Christmas story impact us? Just during December? Or does it impact us from December to the next November? Do we come to church with that same level of excitement that we do at Christmas? Do we come every Sunday with that same level of anticipation? do believe you do, because I see you come running up for the children's sermon. I wish everybody had your enthusiasm, and Reese's too. By the way, that's a great example of the little kids for the children's sermon. Did you ever see any of them walk up? Well, I guess. Some of y'all look like that when you come up for communion. Okay. My name's Eeyore. Man, you're coming up to get the body and blood of Christ. Be happy about it. Have some of the enthusiasm. After Jim, you get your new knee. I want to see you dance up here for communion, all right? We should have that level of enthusiasm of coming to worship that we do at Christmas, or the level of enthusiasm the children have. Man, you imagine how different church would be? Imagine how full church would be if everybody had that same enthusiasm. It is Sunday and I am going to church. Not, oh, nuts, I got to get up out of this nice warm bed. Do you think it was easy for the Magi to find that Christ child? You know, we just jump in a car and drive. I mean, we could drive to Chicago. I don't know why anybody would want to go there. But is it really that hard of a trip? Thank you. I guess none of you have driven up there, so maybe, you know. But anyway, it's not that difficult for us. But back then, it was a big deal. Traveling was a dangerous thing to do. And you know, when we're traveling, all right, and suddenly my stomach says, feed me now. You know, whoop, boom, next exit, there I am. McDonald's is everywhere you go. Back then, they didn't have the fast food restaurants. They didn't have restaurants. Getting food on these journeys, you couldn't bring enough with you. So you had to purchase it by finding it somewhere along the way. But these wise men were going to find that Christ child no matter what. They get to Jerusalem. King Herod's not happy they're there. All of Jerusalem was abuzz with this. The chief priests certainly did not appear to have been happy, but they only had one goal. That was the Christ child. That should be our focus as we begin this time period from December to next November, is focusing on Christ himself. And the Magi came and brought the best gifts that they had. Do we always give God our best gifts or our best skills? If we did, we would actually be in our church here turning away people from church council, because we've already got 4 people running for that position. Something to think about. Do we give God our best? See, Christmas is about that time period from December to next November, focusing on Christ. A pastor of the early 1900s, Henry Van Dyke, no relation to Dick or Jerry. Van Dyke. Didn't you all know that Jerry Van Dyke died yesterday? Anyway, no relation. Henry wrote, "Are you willing to forget what you have done for other people and remember what other people have done for you? To ignore what the world owes you and think what you owe the world, to put your rights in the background and your duties in the foreground, to own that probably the only good reason for your existence is not what you are going to get out of life, but what you are going to give life, to close your book of complaints against the management of the universe and look around you for a place where you can sow a few good seeds of happiness. Are you willing to do these things even for a day? Then you can keep Christmas." Christmas celebration's over, and after church we're pulling down the decorations, right? But that doesn't end the message of Christmas. God is with us. He came at Christmas in human form and remains with us every day. So how does that impact us from December to November? How does that impact our relationship with other people?
Because during the month of December, don't we try to be nice to other people? A little nicer than normal? Don't you try to be a little nicer to those relatives that you would really rather go? How come we can do it then? But then we seem to have troubles then the rest of the year. How does the idea of keeping Christmas from December to November then impact our worship and service for God? So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen. And we